supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is Common Space. I'm Jamie J. And today, we wanted to open a space for one of the most powerful of storytelling styles. Yes, I'm talking about poetry. Throughout this year on Common Space, poets have brought home their feelings about love of home and family, the pros and cons of the immigrant experience, and finally, the despair engendered by witnessing the unspeakable horrors of genocide. Poet Emmy Mahmoud started one of her poems with a photo that people around the world will never forget. The body of a small child laying on a beach, one of thousands of refugees from war-torn Darfur who lost their lives on perilous journeys across the Mediterranean.
I saw a boy make his final stand today, face down in a bed of sand, body prone, bent, broken like the waves. His chest was not moving. His heart did not beat. Everything around him was suspended in the varied turmoil of land and water, push and pull, as if each were trying to reclaim him. It is like that sometimes when I see the corpse of a stranger. That kind of death from the outside of someone else's final breath. It makes the air stop, the ocean turn more slowly, the land a cradle, a cemetery, a monument, a stone, like a dead boy resting in the sand.
The war in Darfur began in 2003 when rebel groups began fighting the government of Sudan, which they accused of oppressing Darfur's non-Arab population. The government responded with a campaign of ethnic cleansing. This resulted in the deaths of hundreds of thousands of civilians and the indictment of Sudan's president for genocide, war crimes, and crimes against humanity by the International Criminal Court. It's a moment in Mahmoud's life that has marked her forever.
Memories of my childhood live between the rings of sand around my ankles and the desert heat in my lungs. I still believe that nothing washes worry from tired skin better than the Nile and my grandma's hands. Every day, I go to school with the weight of dead neighbors on my shoulders. The first time I saw bomb smoke, it didn't wind and billow like the heat from the kitchen hearth, but it forced itself on the Darfur sky, smothering the sun with tears that it stole from our bodies. The worst thing about genocide isn't the hunger, the murder, the politics, it's the silence. For 3 months, they closed the schools down because people like us are an eyesore. So the first month, we took it. The second, we waited. And the third month, we met underneath the date palm trees, drinking up every second our teachers gave us, turning fruit pits into fractions. On the last day, they came with the message, put them in their place. We didn't stand a chance because flesh was never meant to dance with silver bullets. So we prayed for the sun to come and melt daggers from our backs. I hid underneath the bed that day with four other people. 12 years later, and I can't help but wonder where my cousins hid when the soldiers torched the houses, threw the bodies in the wells, so if the weapons didn't get you, the poison would, and sometimes they didn't want to use bullets because it would cost them more than we did. What does it matter? I've seen 16 ways to stop a heart when you build nations on someone's bones. What sense does it make to break them? And one day, my mother choked on rifle smoke, my father washed the blood from his face, my uncles carried half the bodies to the hospital and the rest to the grave, and we watched. For every funeral we planned, there were 60 we couldn't. Half the sand in the Sahara tastes a lot like powdered bone, and when the soldiers came, our blood on their ankles, I remember their laces, scarlet footprints on the floor, Our parents came home with broken collarbones and a taste of fear carved into their skin, and it was impossible to believe in anything. Fear is the coldest thing in the desert, and it burns you. Bows you down to half your height and owns you, and no one hears you. Because what could grow in the desert anyway?
Emmy Mahmoud is the 2015 Individual World Poetry Slam champion. After leaving Darfur, she and her family moved to Philadelphia, where she graduated from Masterman High School before going on to Yale University. In 2016, she was invited to a roundtable with President Obama during his visit to the Islamic Society of Baltimore. Displacement is not always so hurtful and dramatic, but it's certainly true that moving to a new place is fraught with difficulties and with the longing for the life, customs, and experiences left behind. In his poem, The Bridge, poet G. Yamazawa explores his relationship with his father and reveals feelings about assimilation that are common among the children of immigrants.
Really, my dad's a quiet man, and he appreciates the silence. And whenever I speak to him in English, he always returns the foreign favor. See, for him, speaking Japanese is like a walk in the park. I imagine speaking English is like climbing a barbed wire fence. See, my father's accent is bumpy, like the conversation between airplane tires and American concrete that welcomed his arrival to the United States. His pronunciation has trouble landing. His tongue knows turbulence. You see, my father is a chef. He'll add extra syllables to his sentences like seasoning, something that tastes better in his mouth. If I ever complain about hunger, he'll tell me to go get the cheeseburger to Burger King. My father's accent can be an asshole because my father's accent ain't smooth like my birth certificate. It's the rough edges around my family's grave. It's the crease that creates the wings on a paper crane. You see, my father's accent is like a hole in a Japanese internment camp fence. It's an escape route to his culture. His accent is thick, and his words stick together like the vinegar rice on his working hands. He spent more time cooking for people than working on his speech because he knew standard English wasn't gonna feed his children. The recipe is his way of talking to Americans. It's how people understand what his heart is trying to say. You see, the accent is the mark of an immigrant. It's a ruler with mile-long increments that measures the distance away from home. See, maybe Asians are known to be good at math because that's the only homework our parents could help us with. Or maybe I'm being defensive because I'm afraid that my rusty Japanese is a broken chain link that can't hold my lineage together. I am afraid of passing down my lack of language to my children, and their grandpa's accent will sound more foreigner than family. I am selfish, writing poems, and poems and poems about Japan, when my name is the only word I know how to write in Japanese.
In most immigrant communities, there's an undercurrent of fear and apprehension about being labeled an illegal or undocumented. We came across this great poem while browsing the Burton Poetry website. It rings so true. Here's What Does an Illegal Immigrant Look Like? By Alaskan poet Christy Nami Erickson.
An illegal immigrant looks like a nickel. Tails up on the sidewalk, fallen out of someone's pocket. She looks like pressed bleach sheets on cheap beds tucked tight. 100 of them, 12 stories high. I saw one like a mango, peeled and sprinkled with chili powder, on a stick like America, layers cut diagonally, a flower on Lake Street. She looks like an amethyst grape, plucked by the millions, stains like bruises, but she's sorry, and she loves you. He looks like that kid. I don't know his name, but he sits over there and his lunch stinks. An illegal immigrant looks like Chinese exclusion 1882. Asian Exclusion 1924, Executive Order 9066, Patriot Act 2001, SB 1070 5 days ago, 1911, looks like an angel made of bunk beds and cells, where Chinese men write poems into the wooden wall like it could weather the weight, looks like a store sign in 1922, absolutely no dogs or Filipinos allowed, like 1942 spam, rolled up like an enemy, internment camp sushi. He is a community tree in the 1930s, or the 1940s, or the 1960s, who has seen too many dead people to climb on. He is a boat in 1492, sailing the ocean blue, black, brown, red, yellow. He looks like a hill, made of bodies, covered in grass, and a playground, like a scar, on the bottom of my feet, still growing. He looks like Joseph Alito, who looked like Vincent Chin, who looked like Fong Li, who looked like your neighborhood postman, like a good husband, like a boy, on a maddening, threatening, five-deviled icicle. He looked like a good target, like a bad seed, like the wrong crowd, like a Jap mother... who stole our job, so one by one by 100 they killed them innocently, because if you look like the law, you look legal, and the rest of us are just wire cages and a magic trick away from knowing whose turn it is to be the sacrificial pigeon, and it is showtime all the time, so you need to know the difference.
It seems nearly all of the stories in the news about immigrants involve strife between people who are already here and the new arrivals. But here's writer Ross Gay sharing his poem about a real story, a warm and fuzzy one, about how in the long run unity can be achieved. It's a story I think could only happen in Philly.
To the Fig Tree on 9th and Christian. Tumbling through the city in my mind without once looking up, the racket and the legwork probably rehearsing some stupid thing I said or did, some crime or other. The city, they say, is a lonely place until, yes, the sound of sweeping and a woman, yes, with a broom beneath which you are now to the canopy of a fig, its arms pulling the September sun to it, and she has a hose, too, and so works hard, rinsing and scrubbing the walk, lest some poor sod slip on the silk of a fig and break his hip, and not probably reach over to gobble up the perpetrator. The light catches the veins in her hands. When I ask about the tree, they flutter in the air, and she says, "Take as much as you can, help me." So I load my pockets and mouth, and she points to the stepladder against the wall to mean more, but I was without a sack, so my meager plunder would have to suffice. And an old woman whom gravity was pulling into the earth loosed one from a low-slung branch, and its eye wept like hers, which she dabbed with a kerchief as she cleaved the fig with what remained of her teeth. And soon there were 8 or 9 people gathered beneath the tree, looking into it like a constellation, pointing, "Do you see it?" And I am tall, and so good for these things. And a bald man even told me so when I grabbed 3 or 4 for him, reaching into the giddy throngs of yellow jackets, sugar stoned, which he only pointed to, smiling and rubbing his stomach. I mean, he was really rubbing his stomach, like there was a baby in there. It was hot. His head shone while he offered recipes to the group using words which I couldn't understand. And besides, I was a little tipsy on the dance of the velvety heart rolling in my mouth, pulling me down and down into the oldest countries of my body, where I ate my first fig from the hand of a man who escaped his country by swimming through the night and maybe never said more than 5 words to me at once, but gave me figs. And a man on his way to work hops twice to reach at last his fig, which he smiles at and calls baby. "Come here, baby," he says, and blows a kiss to the tree, which everyone knows cannot grow this far north, being Mediterranean and favoring the rocky, sun-baked soils of Jordan and Sicily. But no one told the fig tree or the immigrants. There was a way the fig tree grows in groves. It wants, it seems, to hold us. Yes, I am anthropomorphizing, goddammit. I have twice in the last 30 seconds rubbed my sweaty forearm into someone else's sweaty shoulder, gleeful, eating out of each other's hands on Christian Street in Philadelphia, a city like most, which has murdered its own people. This is true. We are feeding each other from a tree at the corner of Christian and 9th. Strangers, maybe never again.
If you think of an individual neighborhood as a country with its own language, traditions, and rules, you'll understand Mo Burrows' eloquent poem about home as an anchor to her life.
There are no words to describe the beauty of a complete home, a complete community, how the fullness of everything in its place and the casual usualness of nothing missing is holy. How does one describe the feeling under the tattoo of feet on concrete, the staccato of feet that know where they're going and know where they've been, how sure they can sound, how full of the earth's own pulse, and how different too from the stutter step of feet that come upon the suddenly unfamiliar new road, sparkling with imported importance and not to be trod upon. How does one describe the feeling under the sound of children playing, unaccosted by new strangers' eyes behind new strangers' curtains, playing as children should, with great energy and volume and wild imagination? There is sublime beauty in the neighborhood that remembers its own ghosts.
But on the other hand, for some, their neighborhoods are in cities with harsh realities, and ghosts of violent events are a constant presence, such as for Christian Xavier Lovehall, a Philadelphia poet, musician, and freedom fighter, who, in his stage persona, Words the Poet MC, dedicates his career to art for social change.
Got pulled over on Larpiner.
I told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand open.
You told him to get his ID, sir.
That major outrage this morning after a behavioral therapist was shot by an officer after he held his hands in the air, lying on the ground, his patient with autism sitting right nearby.
Yeah. No justice, no peace, nah, no racist-ass police. Yeah. Black lives, they matter, yep, but the murder rates increase. They were. So we blockade these streets, shit, circles with drum beats. Yes. True facts and receipts, overstood, overheating. Yeah. And I wonder if I am next. Hashtag effect, cause the melanin reflects. Yeah. They big mads, they vex. Lyrically, I hex. Black Star Apex. What? Got love for Martin. Listen. But I'm on my Malcolm X. Freeze, Jah, please. Don't move, don't breathe. Nah. Coaches, they all seize. Yeah. His what? ODs. Can't live, can't sneeze. They pull the trigger and squeeze. True. Negroes on they knees. Officer, don't shoot him, please. Black man down. Black man down. Pull the liquor. On the ground, black man down, black man down, pour the liquor on the ground. I woke up this morning, I hope I don't get killed today. Cause I'm black and my hair in that bag. And they want me to be hotel. I lost my chains, I ain't run away. Nah. I'm the light, the sun of the ray. Yeah. Child of Shango, obey. Target on my back all day, every day. True. Teddy bears and balloons. Too many lives, gone too soon. Stomach rumbling, no silver spoon. Shedding tears and the bap in the boom. Pretty flowers, denied our bloom. I wanna go back before I was in the moon. If I die, put me up in the tomb. If I die, put me up in the tomb. Listen, black death sensation. What is liberation? Okay. Third eye dilation. Okay. PTSD frustration. Okay. Light up levitation. Proper rotation. Heavy pour the libation. Yo, this is our medication. Black man down. Black man down. Pour the liquor on the ground. Black man down. Black man down. Bob said, woman, don't cry. But they praying to the suns in the sky. What is the 4th of July? Well, your freedom only comes when you die. Black and proud, I see no lie. Conscious minds, we don't comply. On the people we rely. They take our hoods and gentrify. I got the juice, I sub the lines. I know my roots, I am the vines. Darker the skin, the darker the crimes. Harder the heart, the harder the times. The brighter the lights, the louder the chimes. It's in the air, I see the signs. Read the truth between the rhymes. Protecting precious paradigms. Painted pictures, Maybelline. They flip the script and press rewind. We fall back and they recline. When we rise, we rise and grind. Our blood is red and age like wine. The back of the bus, the front of the line. Our pants, we sag past our waistline. Brothers, stop the red stop sign.
Black man down. Black man down. Pour the liquor on the ground. Black man down. Black man down. On the ground.
You've been listening to a special edition of Common Space, looking back at some of the poetry that has populated our 2017 podcast. Check out our whole first season at acommonspace.org and stay with us for season 2 of Common Space, which is a production of First Person Arts and WHYY, and it's been supported by the Pew Center for Arts and Heritage. I'm your host, Jamie J. Thank you so much for listening.